rather be wrong in my doctrine and be right in my spirit than to be right in my doctrine and wrong in my spirit. I want the right spirit within me. That's what I want Him to do tonight. I want Him to create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I hope that's your prayer. Same page, number 544.
He redeemed me. Let's sing it again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. Oh, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.
Amen. God bless you tonight. Amen. Sister Tina, she's not feeling well tonight. Got a migraine. She requested prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Brother Stephen, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests tonight?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to be here once again. Lord, there's many people that either don't have the desire or don't have the opportunity to come into your house. But we're thankful, Lord, that we have the opportunity and the desire that you've placed there to gather together in heavenly places with your bride, Lord. We're so thankful that we have this place to come, that we can feel your spirit, and that we have ministers and people working to keep the word before us, Lord. We're thankful for that. And now we have some requests. We have a member that's sick, Sister Tina. We just pray, Lord, that you'd go to wherever she's at, meet her need, Lord, heal her body. Lord, we know she's fought migraines and different things for a while. We just pray, Lord, that you'd help her to win the victory over those things. Lord, for other people, Brother Joel and others, Lord, that are looking at career changes and different things, Lord, we've been lifting up all these brothers, these fathers, these providers, And Lord, we just trust that you'd work on all the situations. Lord, we don't want a bunch of pile of money for gain, for just entertainment and things, Lord, but we want to provide for our families. We want to provide for your kingdom and your work, Lord. That's our heart's desire. And Lord, now for this service, we come under anticipation, Lord, for whatever you would have for us. Lord, there's things maybe we need corrected or things we need encouraged about, Lord. And we just pray that you come and work your perfect will, Lord, with your word, because we know your word is anointed and it's sharper than that two-edged sword, Lord. It'll get to the heart of the matter. And Lord, we appreciate our pastor. We just pray that you'd help him once again to do his best to get himself out of the way, that you might prove once again that you use a man in this day to bring forth and to deliver your word to us. We're thankful for your promises. We're just looking forward to whatever you'd have for us. Bless this service, Lord. And Lord, we just want to say we love you. And we want to worship you with the remainder of the song service with all of our hearts, Lord, just to tell you how much you mean to us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Sister Anna and Brother Adam have a special for us at this point. Aren't you thankful he knows your name?
Amen.
He knew it before the foundations of the world, as we heard this morning. Mom and Dad couldn't have called me anything other than what they called me, because he already had it written down. That ought to make a Presbyterian shout. To think that he knows that much about us before we ever got here. Amen. When we were just a thought. Well, glory. Page 429, if you'll sing with me.
Give me oil in my lamp.
we stand. Oh, give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp. I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. And sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing. Y'all sing better when you're standing up, you know it? In Moldova, that's what they do. They stand for the entire song service. Maybe we need to do like the Moldovans. No, you were doing much better when we stood up. So let's do this. Now that we've got oil in our lamp, let's sing this little light of mine. How many of you have a light? All right? So we're going to sing this little light of mine. All right? And as we sing it, you go around, shake hands with your brothers and sisters, and let your light shine. All right? This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave me this light, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me this light, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me this light, and I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, Jesus gave me this light, and I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus gave me this light, and I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Well, Brother Hoover was singing in his favorite chord, so I'm going to play in mine now.
Oh, this little light of mine, well, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, well, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I lay my burdens down, oh, glory, glory, hallelujah. Since I laid my burdens down, well, I've been cross I lay my burdens down. Oh, I've been feeling so much better since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, I've been shouting since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, oh, I've been shouting since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Is that how you feel tonight? I am blessed. Oh, I'm so blessed. Lord, I'm so blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. I'm so blessed. I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest. Oh, you've got health in your body tonight. I believe we can sing it to Him. Oh, yes, I am blessed. Lord, I'm so blessed. Oh, every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, if you got family members that are serving Him, you're blessed tonight. Oh, yes, I am blessed. I'm so blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. Oh, when I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, one more time together, let's sing it to Him. I am blessed. Lord, I am blessed. I know every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning, till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. Oh, I am blessed.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We're blessed tonight. Amen. Just to be partakers of His goodness. Amen. To have eyes to see and ears to hear, we're truly blessed tonight. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to St. Matthew chapter 5. And we've been going through the Beatitudes and looking at those on some of our Sunday evening services. And as we looked at it before, this word beatitude means supremely blessed. Supremely blessed. I want to pick up tonight with St. Matthew chapter 5 and beginning at verse 10. St. Matthew 5 verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Let's just read that together tonight, if you would. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Let's bow our heads together tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we begin to approach your word tonight, Lord, I just ask you to give us, Lord, not only ears to hear, but Father, may it sink down deep into our heart. May we receive from your word tonight, Lord. Lord, I just ask you to be in the continuation of the service. I thank you, Lord, for the songs that we've heard, Lord, for the presence that we felt here. Lord, I just ask that you would just continue to take complete control. Lord, help me to get myself out of the way. Lord, help me to be so transparent, Father, that the people, when they would look, they wouldn't see me, Lord, but they would see your word, Lord, being put forth. And Lord, may the focus always be on you, Lord, to lift you up and to glorify you and the things that you've done for us and the things that we've seen you do through history and the things we continue to see you do. Lord, we want to lift you up again tonight, Father, because you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you, Lord. And Lord, we want to give you, Lord, of the preeminence in all that we say and do, Lord. Every decision that we make, every word that we speak, every action that we take, Father, may you have the preeminence in our lives, Lord. Not just when we're sitting in a church building, but Lord, may you have preeminence every day of our life, Lord. Lord, we love you tonight. And we thank you for these things. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, we don't usually think of persecution as being a blessing, but Jesus is telling us here that even when we're persecuted, we're blessed. Even when somebody is saying evil against us, we're blessed. When we're receiving persecution, whether it be from the outside or the inside or whatever it would be, we're blessed tonight. I want to look at this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12 tonight. St. Peter speaking, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?" Now, he makes it sound, we just take this verse, you know, who is going to harm you? Who would do such a thing if you're a follower of good? But he's saying, what type of a man would do this? If we go on and read a little further. He says, "But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." Some of you sisters, when you go down through Walmart and people snicker and laugh and point because of your hair and your dress, you should be happy. Amen. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be troubled about it. Don't let it upset you. Be happy. When they persecute you, with some of you young people at your schools, and they make fun of you because you won't partake in their activities and you won't do the things that they do, you won't say the things that they say, you won't dress the way that they act and they look, and they, you know, everybody in this age wants to be tolerant to about everybody but Christians and Jews, basically. If you're an atheist, we better be tolerant to you. If you're a gay or a lesbian or some type of a pervert, we should be tolerant to you. But when it comes to Christianity and the Jews, they kind of draw the line and aren't tolerant anymore. That's the age that we live in. It's a sad thing that this country was founded on freedom of religion, and people that had sat under tyrannical reign and been forced to do certain things and to have their services certain ways and things. They were trying to get away from all that. They didn't want to be under the thumb of the Catholic Church anymore, but they wanted to come and worship in freedom. And they came here under freedom of religion. Our flag has flown under the freedom of religion. When we say the Pledge of Allegiance, I believe it was Mr. Eisenhower had added in there one nation under God. It was founded under God. When the First Continental Congress met, they knelt around the tables and the chairs, and they prayed and asked God for guidance for this new country that they were going to try to step out in faith and battle for their right for independence. They knelt down and prayed. And if they did it today at one of the meetings of the Supreme Court, somebody would probably get fired or put in jail over it. We see all these killings in schools and all kinds of things going on, murders and rapes and drugs and all kinds of things going on. And they look around, they question, well, where is God in it all? Well, you kicked him out of the schools many years ago. You've made it very, very known that he's not welcome there. They've taken him out of the schools. They've taken him out of the courthouses. And they wonder why politics is in such a mess as it is today. Brother Branham said way back in the 50s, if you put an Abraham Lincoln in every position, then, you know, it still wouldn't do any good because she sent away her day of grace. They missed their hour of visitation. And yet, with all that God did in this age and all the signs and wonders and miracles, they went right over the top of it and failed to recognize it and went right on into sin. I don't know, maybe the person you voted for got elected. I couldn't bring myself to vote for anyone. I'll just be honest with you. Two wrongs don't make a right, I guess. So, amen. I couldn't put my confidence behind either one of those that was running. I didn't feel like we had very good options. I'm not against you if you voted. Maybe I should have went and voted for the lesser of two evils. I don't know, but I didn't want to put my name behind either candidates. It's a mess that we're in this age. Brother Bram said at one point, he said, what's the use of voting when they fix the elections and things anyhow? They put in who they want to have in there. I'm not against voting. Don't get me wrong tonight, but sometimes I guess don't have the heart to go and cast my vote behind what's available on the ballots. I guess I could have wrote Brother Layton's name in. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Some of you young people, when you go into your schools and things and they make fun of you and try to peer pressure you and things like that, don't be afraid of their terror. Don't be troubled. Be happy if they're making fun of you and persecuting you. You say, how can we do it, Brother Nathan? Because Jesus said they did the same things to the prophets. They did the same thing to the great men down through the ages. Everybody that's ever taken a stand for something that's right has been persecuted in some way. To take a stand is something, when you take a stand and say, I'm going to stand for the right, there's somebody that'll oppose that. There's somebody that'll make fun of that. There's somebody that'll ridicule that. But even way back in Pentecost, H. Richard Hall, an evangelist that my parents followed, he had made a good statement. He said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Amen. So I'm glad to be standing for something, and not just for the sake of standing, but standing for something that we can see a foundation of it in the Word, and we can take it back and we can show people what we believe came right out of here. Amen. And many of them packing the very same book under their Bible. Many of them saying the same thing we do. Oh, it's the infallible Word of God. But when you begin to show them what this book actually said, they'll turn and walk away from you and make fun of you, claiming to follow the same book. But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Didn't say run and hide away, you know, hide in your basement and be afraid to go out and witness to somebody. He said, be ready always to give an answer. Hey man, I don't believe that we can get into this by just studying it, but I believe it's good to study it. Amen. In fact, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved. Study to show the people that you know what you're talking about when they ask you why you believe what you believe. It's good to study, but studying didn't put us in. It's good to study, but studying didn't give us the Holy Ghost. I know there's some men around the message that they say, you know, well, just to believe the message, that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, then Satan has the Holy Ghost because the Bible said that he believes and trembles. He believes and trembles. If anybody in this age knew that God sent a prophet, it was Satan. Because he faced him every night in the prayer lines over and over and over and over. It takes more than just being able to say, I believe God sent a prophet, or just being able to say, I believe it. I'm thankful that God brought us that far, but there was another step to go than just to say we believed it. Amen. If just to say that we believe it is enough. There's many that have walked away that was saying a few years ago that they believed it. No doubt in their heart, they truly, sincerely thought that they did. But it's not just enough to say we believe it. It's not even just enough to actually believe it. You have to accept it and it become a part of you. It's not just to be enough to be associated around the message. It's not just enough to say, I'm in the message. That's wonderful. Is the message in you? It's wonderful to be in the message. I thank God that he brought us that far, but I'm glad that he took me a little farther and placed the message in me to where it became a part of my life. Not just something I could memorize, but something that he could live through me.
Amen. I'm thankful for a life, behind the voice. I'm thankful that it's become more than just words to it, but it's become a life. I believe it's Brother Hoover sings that, life behind the name. I'm glad that there's a life behind us living out to where Paul can say, it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that lives within me. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. I love it when the devil doesn't have nothing bad he can say about us, and so he has to make up lies about us. I love that. I love that some of the things that get told around about our church or about you personally or me personally around this area or different places, I love it when it comes back and 99.9% of it is absolutely just completely false. I think, oh, thank you, Lord, that the devil had to make something up on us. You say, doesn't that bother you, Brother Nathan, that somebody said this, said you taught this, or said you did that, or said we don't do this, or whatever? We've had people come right and argue with people that are set in our services, say, Brother Nathan doesn't play tapes. A brother that visits here frequently said he ran into a man, and they told him, they said, Brother Nathan doesn't play tapes. He said, oh, yes, he does. I've been to his services. And they argued with the man. They've never been. They've never sat in a service, but they argued with the man that had sat in a service where we played tapes. I thought, wasn't that great that the devil has to make up lies about us? Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. You say, oh, Brother so-and-so said something about me. Oh, my, he said something about my family. He said something about, you know, my aunt or my uncle. And, oh, my, it was just nothing but a lie. And, oh, my, here they are trying to serve God and do the best they know. Praise the Lord. I'd rather somebody say something evil about me for something good that I'm trying to do than to actually have something evil they could talk about to me. I'm glad that, you know, that, oh my, you get all kinds of names tacked on you as a message believer. They call us a Branhamite, and they call us the cult, and they call us this, and they call us that. I'd rather, if that's all that they can say about us, to me, to be associated with Brother Branham's name, that's not an insult. That's an honor. All right. Amen. If they would have called me a Paulite in the days of Paul, I would have thought, well, that's not really what I consider myself. But if you want to associate me with Paul's message, then praise the Lord. I am associated with it. I am identified with it. Maybe we wouldn't have went by the name of the Paulites or the Mosesites or the Noahites. But if they wanted to associate us in that way, it wouldn't have embarrassed me a bit. I would have said, that's right, I'm following that man as he follows Christ. As I said it a few weeks ago, I'd have followed Noah right up the gangplank there into the ark, and I would have followed him right to the top of the water while the rest of them followed their false teachers to the bottom of the water. If I would have been in the days of Moses, I would have followed him right out of Egypt, and they could have said I was in a cult or said I was following a man. I would have said, absolutely, I'm following him right out of bondage and into freedom. I'm following him. I'm not ashamed of those things. It's better if it's the will of God that they make fun of us for those things than the things they used to be able to say about you. Said, oh my, he, you know, this guy over here, he's just a drunk. That one over there, he's a drug addict. That one over there, she's just a prostitute almost. And this one over here, oh my, they're so addicted to cigarettes. It's just pitiful. I'm glad they can't say those things about us anymore. Amen. If they've got to say other things about us, call us Branhamites and say that, you know, we're this, that, and the other. I'm so thankful that that's the persecution we're receiving for good doing instead of them having something to say against us for evil that we've done. Oh, my. It's better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Jesus says again, St. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are ye. You're blessed tonight. Somebody reviles you and persecutes you and says all manner of evil, even as things that are false about you. Say, oh my, they've done this and they've done that and they said this and said that. You say, no, I never. No, I never did say those things. I never did that. You bring me before anybody, and I'll stand there and tell them, you know, that maybe they've told you that, but stand me beside them and have them say it to my face instead of to my back and see what they say. You say, oh, I never did do those things. Saying all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. you're blessed. You're blessed tonight. I find it interesting when Satan goes about, he tries to disturb and he tries to upset, and he can't find enough dirt on you of things you've actually done. He's got to make up things. I think, that's a blessing, Brother Randy. That's a blessing. We're blessed tonight. Oh, my. Somebody make up something and say it about you. Oh, my, they did this, they did that, they did it. You say, that's not true. And you get all nervous and upset about it and about having a nervous breakdown because somebody said something bad about you to somebody that you used to know that said something else and over here and they had a little party and my, they got on your back and began to say all things about you behind your back and didn't even have the guts to say it to your face and you get all nervous and upset about it, you're blessed. Amen. You're blessed. If Satan's trying to attack you tonight, he's trying to use people against you, he's trying to discourage you, he's trying to give you, just make you a nervous wreck, you're blessed tonight. You say, how on earth is that a blessing? Because if he's trying to get you, if he's trying to attack you, if he's trying to destroy you, if he's still after you, it means he hasn't got you. You're blessed tonight. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. And shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I don't know about most of you, but the last time somebody said something about you and you heard a lie that was told on you or somebody that was saying something negative about you, oh my, they did this to me or they treated me this way and here I thought they were supposed to be a Christian and they was running their mouth about you on Facebook or Twitter or at somebody's fellowship gathering or something. Did you get up that next morning and say, hallelujah, oh, I'm so glad. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's what he told us to do. Most of us would get up and call Brother Layton. Oh, Brother Layton, you just don't know what they've been saying about me lately. Oh, it's not just me, Brother Layton. They was talking about my aunt. They was talking about my uncle. They was talking about the church. They was talking about Brother Nathan. We can say, glory. Hallelujah. Let's rejoice a little bit tonight. They used to call us the happy church. I thought, my, if that's the worst thing they can say about us, praise God. Praise God. We had somebody come and visit the church. They told one of the brothers here, they said, we'll never be back. You all are too friendly. I thought, hallelujah. Everybody wanted to shake my hand, and I just want to go to church and leave and go crawl back in my hole somewhere. I don't want to come to a church like that where people are friendly. Praise God. If that's the worst they can say about us, Brother David, we're too friendly. Oh, praise God. Everybody wanted to shake my hand. Well, it's probably the same people that other churches, they've said, nobody wanted to shake my hand. I went to church and nobody would shake my hand. Some people just come to find fault. And if they can't find a real good fault, they'll make one up somewhere. We should rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Luke chapter 6 verse 22. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. And when they shall separate you from their company, oh my. Blessed are you when they don't call you and invite you over to their house anymore is what he's saying. Blessed are they when they unfriend you on Facebook because you won't like their anti-message posts. Blessed are you when they separate from your company. They won't fellowship with you anymore because of the church that you go to or because you won't compromise and cut your hair or wear shorts or act like a pervert out here somewhere. Blessed are you when those type of people separate you from their company. Blessed are you when men shall hate you and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Many of the things that are said about us isn't even really about us. It's people that's mad because of what we believe. Right. Many people that have you know, there was a guy, you've heard me talk about it. I don't have to keep calling his name every night and giving him glory. But there was a guy recently called me a cult pastor. He didn't say that because he doesn't like me. He said it for the Son of Man's sake. Right. Because I'm following the Son of Man's ministry in this age. He didn't say it because he has a beef with me as a person. He said it because he hates what I believe. Amen. I'm blessed tonight. Amen. Shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. That's what the word said. Leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Amen. Now, if you've gone out here and you've done shady business deals and you've robbed people of their money or you've treated their families bad or you've insulted their wife and they separate your fellowship, you're not blessed for that. That's not what he's talking about. If you're just a grouch and always something negative out of your mouth and somebody pulls away from you because of that, you're not blessed because of that. But when they separate from you because you believe the message, or when they separate from you because you take a stand for the word and you want to believe all that the word said and not just somebody's favorite quote or scripture, when they separate you from you because of the church that you go to or because that you want to draw the circle bigger and have fellowship with people they don't want to have fellowship with, and they separate from you and hate you and call you names and separate fellowship from you, rejoice. Amen. Leap for joy. Because they're not, it's not really you that they're upset with. It's the Holy Spirit in you. Samuel got so discouraged one time because he had went there and he had preached his heart out. And he had told the people his convictions. And he had told them that God should be their king. And they just absolutely rejected what he said and went and did what they wanted to do anyhow. I know what that feels like sometimes as a preacher. Brother Bram said he'd go into places and he'd preach on women cutting their hair and all these things. And he'd come back and they'd just be worse the next year. Preach your heart out sometimes and people just sit there and nod and amen and smile and just go right over the top of their head. I know a little bit what that's like. Brother Layton and Brother Hoover and these different brothers, we recognize a small portion of what that would be like. But here Samuel comes out and he gives his convictions and he gives the burden of his heart to the people, and they just reject it and go right ahead and do what they wanted to anyhow. And he got a little discouraged. He got a little bit on the ash heap, and God spoke to him and said, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. See, the problem is, Samuel, you think that they're upset with you, and you think that they've rejected your ministry, and they think they've rejected your words. But I want to tell you, Samuel, it's not you they're rejecting. It's me they're rejecting.
All right.
When they rejected this message in this last day, and the denomination shut their doors to it, and they said, we don't want that serpent seed stuff around here, they weren't rejecting a Kentuckian with the seventh grade education. They were crucifying Christ again afresh. When they reject you because of your stand for the word, you can stand there and tell them, not as a smart aleck, but just stand there and say, look, I can't help. This is just the convictions of my heart. This is what I believe by looking at the word, by looking at the message, by looking at the scriptures and the quotes. This is what I believe. I can't change what I believe. I'd be a hypocrite. But if you can show me in the word, if you can take and show me in the message in the Bible where some of these things stopped, if you can take and show me in the message in the Bible where I'm incorrect and show me out of love, then I'd be glad to pray about what you're trying to show me. Most of them will turn their nose and turn their back and walk away and say, he's just deceived. Well, if we're so deceived, then help us. If we're so deceived, then for goodness sake, show us in the message in the Bible where we're wrong. If we're wrong, we need help. We need help. Somebody should help us. But most of them will just say, well, that's just what we believe, and walk away and turn their back on you. Why do they say that? Because they don't have a quote or a scripture to prove what they believe. Blessed are you tonight. Ephesians Church Age 1960. Well, didn't Jesus say, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake? He never said start getting formal. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for they persecuted the prophets which were before you. He said that was in the Beatitudes, Matthew 5, blessed are you. Why? To have people make fun of you because you love the Lord is a blessing, just to have them say it. They're only, when they're cursing you, they're bringing God's blessings down on you. It backfires on them like it did on Balaam that time. You remember old Balaam? He got out there and he was going to prophesy something evil against the people of God. And here he was. Brother Bram said he was a fundamentalist. He sacrificed the same way that Israel did. He worshiped the same God that Israel did. He did all these things. Oh my, just looked like he was an absolute fundamentalist, doing all the actions and the works and all these type of things. But when it came to a pillar of fire and a vindicated prophet in the camp, here he was. Oh, he was selling out to money. And he stood there. And he walks out there to the side of the mountain, and Balak said, prophesy against this people. They're about to drive me crazy. And, you know, look over here at their hinder parts. And look at these people straggling around here in the back. Look at the way some of these people are dressing and acting and talking. Can't you prophesy something? Can't you curse those people? Look at their works. Even their works aren't very good. Look at their actions. Look at the way they're living. Look at these stragglers back here in the rear part of the camp of Israel at the way they're acting and living and yet claiming they're following a prophet. Prophesy something and curse those people. And he went out there and he said, well, I won't say nothing except what God places in my mouth. But, oh my, after that meeting we had, Balak, I sure see they sure are a bunch of lousy people. I'm sure God can give me something to say. And he went out there and cleared his throat, and he began to prophesy, and he said, I've seen righteousness in Jacob. Oh, my, and I didn't look at his hinder parts, but I looked at him from the top of the mountain, and, oh, my, he began to prophesy good things about him and say good things and bless him, and he'd go out there, and he'd begin to try to curse him, and he'd say, blessed is he that blesseth Israel. I apologize, Brother Balak. Let me try again. Cursed is he that curseth Israel. Oh, my. Lord, you know I didn't want to say that. Here he was going out to curse them, and all he could do was bless them. And many of the things that he spoke still being fulfilled today. You're still blessed if you bless Israel, and you're still cursed if you curse Israel. I don't care what nation or how big a nation or the UN or whatever wants to come against her, she's blessed. If they come against her, they're cursed. When they're cursing you, they're bringing God's blessings down on you. Why? You can't curse what God's blessed, and you can't bless what God's cursed. Don't matter how hard you try. So when people go around and say evil against you and you get down in the dumps, rejoice and leap and be glad, because it's just God's blessings raining down on you. Oh, Brother Nathan, I just don't know if I can do that. I'm just reading you the word tonight. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying this is what he told us to do. Amen. When they're cursing you, they're bringing God's blessings down on you. When I read this, it reminded me of something we looked at years ago back at the storefront when we was looking at a name change and the different ones that God changed their names, and Abraham and different ones. And when we got over to Daniel, and when Daniel was in captivity in Babylon, they changed his name to Belteshazzar. And when they did, that was the name of Nebuchadnezzar's God. And that name, when you look up the meaning of it, it means God has blessed. God has blessed. And so even when his enemies were saying, can you take old Belteshazzar and throw him in the lion's den? They were saying, God has blessed him. Even when they was talking bad about him and calling his name, they were saying, God has blessed him. Oh my, old God has blessed us praying three times a day. Can you kill him? Old God has blessed us driving us crazy. Can we destroy him? Old God has blessed, we want to take him and put him in a lion's den. God has blessed, God has blessed, God has blessed. They were cursing him, but they were really raining down God's blessings on him. He said it backfires on them. When they try to make fun of you being a Christian, why, it backfires on them. And God gives a blessing. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said that it'd be better for a millstone to be hanged about your neck and be cast into the sea. I don't know about you, that's not a very pretty picture. You go down to Spring Mill and see one of those great big stone mills that they have to grind up the corn and different things. A huge millstone, take it and tie it to your neck and cast it into the sea. You recognize you're going to go right with it into the bottom of the sea. He said you'd be better to do that than to say one thing about these little ones. No wonder Jesus would hang there on the cross as they were crying, crucify him, and say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. No wonder he would say that. He recognized that their words, the things they were speaking of him, the things they would speak of the Holy Ghost in the ages to come, it'd be better that a millstone was hung about their neck and cast into the sea than for them to say those things. Many of them saying them without even recognizing what they were saying, blinded by an evil spirit that was upon them. No wonder little Stephen could stand there as they picked up chunks of rock and bashed his head in and say, Father, commit it not to their charge, what they're doing. Why? Just to say one little thing about that servant of God, it would have been better that they hung a millstone around their neck and was cast into the sea. Don't put that way off in the New Testament somewhere back in the days of Paul. That's for this age too. When you hear about somebody saying those type of things about you, telling lies on you and separating fellowship with you, don't get upset. Don't try to revile back. Don't try to get even. Don't try to come up with some witty comeback to say to him the next time you see him. Pray for him and ask God to forgive him. It backfires on them when they try to make fun of you being a Christian, he said. Why, it backfires on them and God gives a blessing. Because blessed are you when men shall persecute you for my name's sake. For his name's sake, blessed are you. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. When they're speaking evil of you, it's not just you they're talking about. It's the word that you're following that they're talking about. And even though evil is spoken of him, of them, on your part, he's glorified. Lord, I want to live a life, no matter what anybody says, I want to glorify you. I want to lift you up before the people. Verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Amen. If the righteous be scarcely saved, where shall the sinner and ungodly be? Here they are speaking evil of you many times and don't realize it's really the word of God that they're speaking evil of. Sometimes when they make fun of us brothers because we're ministers and call us all types of names and things, we recognize this. It's not really so much us. It's not Brother David Hoover that they're attacking. It's not just Brother Nathan Bryan or Brother Bill Layton or Brother Arnie Bird that they're attacking. They're attacking the word of God that placed those things in there. I think it's interesting that Paul would say that it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching that the sinner should be saved. You wonder why we've got a lot of spiritual babies still around the message, because they won't come God's provided way. By the foolishness of preaching, the people should be saved. And then a lot of people won't listen to that foolishness. So what do they do? Still wondering about, tossed from this doctrine, this wind and that wind. And well, we believe in going to church this week, but not this week. And we believe in this week, but not that week. And back and forth on what they believe or what they think or what they see. The word doesn't change. But many people are changed and back and forth on what they believe and swayed by popularity or what's popular at the time or what different things. Why? They don't have an anchor. They don't have an anchor. They've never sat under any good, solid gospel teaching. And so they just get blown over here and blown over there. And, well, this brother told me this the other day in the parking lot. And, oh, my, I never saw it that way. Well, stop listening to parking lot preachers and listen to a real God-called anointed one for a while. Maybe God can bring you along a little ways. Oh, we don't believe in preachers. Then why do you spend 2 hours in the parking lot telling people that, preaching to them? We don't believe in this. We don't believe in that. Well, why do you get up and take your pulpit out in McDonald's or Burger King or wherever? Well, glory. Amen. Church Age Book, page 116. I'm going to read you a lengthy quote tonight, but it goes along with this so well. I thought it'd be good. Now the Lord God Almighty says, I know. There he is walking in the midst of his people. There he is, the chief shepherd of the flock. But does he hold back the persecution? Does he stem the tribulation? No, he does not. He simply says, I know your tribulation. I'm not at all unmindful of your suffering. What a stumbling block this is to so many people, he says. Like Israel, they wonder if God really loves them. How can God be just and loving if he stands by and watches his people suffer? That's what they ask in Malachi 1, verse 1 to 3. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet we say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. We looked at that this morning, you remember? And laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. You see, they could not figure out God's love. They thought that love meant no suffering. Well, sounds like they'd been listening to too many mega church pastors. They thought that love meant no suffering. Oh, God loves you, and God wants you to have a good parking spot, and he wants you to have a rich bank account, and he wants you to be successful and blessed. And he said they thought that love meant no suffering. They thought that love meant a baby with parental care. That's where a lot of them still are, even around the message. Oh, my, I hope we can get off of milk and move on to meat. Right. Amen. Not just being petted and babied around and goo-goo and gaga and, oh, my, we'll just give you a little bit because we don't want to offend you. No, it's time we get into a little bit of the meat of the thing. Yeah. Amen. Milk's good when you want milk, but sometimes I need more than just a bottle of milk. But God said that his love was elective love. The proof of his love is election. That no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact that they were chosen unto salvation. Saying he loves you, that doesn't mean we're never going to have a trial. We're never going to be persecuted. We're never going to have a test. It means that he chose you. He loved you enough to elect you. He said his love was elective love. We looked at that this morning, remember. The proof of his love is election, that no matter what happened, his love was proven truly by the fact they were chosen unto salvation. Because God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, he may commit you to death, as he did Paul. He may commit you to suffering, as he did Job. That is his prerogative. He is sovereign, but it's all with a purpose. God, as we looked at it this morning, how he orchestrated from eternity. He knew what Job would suffer. He knew how Paul would die. He knew how Peter would die. He knew how the martyrs would die. He knew how they would be persecuted. You think we're seeing persecution in this age? It's not a drop in the bucket to compare with what the martyrs went through. They were chasing them down and killing them like dogs, cutting open their stomachs and turning loose wild animals, dogs and lions and things on them, burning them at the stake, decapitating them, doing all kinds of things, evil tortures and stuff. You read the Fox's Book of the Martyrs, it'll break your heart. And somebody unfriends you on Facebook and, oh, I have such a hard road to travel, Brother Layton. It's a drop in the bucket to what the martyrs went through. But in all of it, whatever he allows you to go through, whatever your suffering, whatever your persecution, that's his prerogative, he says. But it's all with a purpose. If he did not have a purpose, then he would be the author of frustration and not of peace. His purpose is that after we have suffered a while, we should be made perfect, be established, strengthened, and settled. He doesn't just persecute us for persecution's sake. So he doesn't just say, "My, you know what? Brother Hoover made a mistake last week and I'm just going to persecute him for a while, see how he likes it." He doesn't do that. He's not an author of confusion. He's not an author of that. He's the author of peace. But he allows persecution to come. He allows tribulation to come. He allows suffering even to come sometime. Why? Because he's an evil God? Because he wants to see us suffer? No, because he wants us to be established. He wants us to be strengthened and settled. He wants to make us perfect. And it's the trials, the fiery trials sometimes that rub off those rough spots in your personality and rubs off those weaknesses in your life and rubs off the things that you used to put way up here that you recognize as time goes on. You know what? Those things are temporal. I'm going to focus more on the eternal things. He allows these things to come to perfect us, to establish us, to strengthen and settle us. As Job said, Brother Bram goes on in the quote, as Job said, he put strength in us, Job 23, verse 6b. You see, he himself suffered. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He was actually made perfect by the things that he suffered. Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. In plain language, the very character of Jesus was perfected by suffering. Brother Branham said in one place, he said he was the greatest character that had ever lived. I believe it's Choosing of the Bride when he talks about character there in 1965. He said he had the greatest character of anyone that had ever lived. Of course he did. He was God in the flesh. But that humanity of Jesus, that flesh body, he came to the earth and it said he grew in stature and in knowledge. Right. Here he was, a young man, and he could learn things as a young man, as a boy. He could grow in stature. He could get bigger. He could grow in knowledge. But there on the riverbank, when he came down and was baptized of John and the fullness of the Godhead bodily stepped into him, he didn't need anybody to teach him anything anymore. Right. But here he was, the humanity of Christ, the suffering, the things that he went through, it was perfecting him. If it took that to perfect the character of Jesus, how much more us sinners saved by grace?
Amen.
The very character, he says, of Jesus was perfected by suffering. And according to Paul, he has left his church a measure of suffering, that they too, by their faith in God, while suffering for him, would come to a place of perfection. Why did he want this? James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8, 17 to 18. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon, Brother Bram said, Paul must have been a Kentuckian because he said, I reckon. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
I notice many times we quote that, the glory that will be revealed to us, but that's not what he said. The glory that would be revealed in us. I reckon the sufferings of this present time won't be even compared to what we'll be like over there. All the suffering, all the pain, all the trials, whatever you're going through down here on earth, whatever the persecution, whatever somebody said about you, whatever trial that you've had to go through, maybe it's been a physical trial, maybe it's been sickness, maybe it's been pain in your body, maybe it's been scars emotionally because of things people have said about you, it's temporal. Oh, it may hurt for a while, but it's temporal. It'll stop sometime. If it doesn't stop before then, it'll at least stop when you draw that last breath. But then we step into eternity. And we look back at the sufferings in the vast span of eternity. If you live to be 120, it's just a tiny speck compared to the vastness and greatness of eternity. And you'll look back and you'll think, that temporal suffering can't even be compared to the glory that's revealed in us living eternity in a body that don't get sick, don't get tired, don't feel pain, don't feel stress, don't feel nervousness, don't get anxious, don't get hungry. Oh my, what a day that'll be.
Amen.
Unless we suffer with him, he says, we cannot reign with him.
Right.
People that don't want to suffer, don't want to go through trials. Well, I want to be a Christian, but I just want a life of ease. Well, Brother Branham said, God never called us to a picnic. He called us to a battle. He never promised it would be easy. What he promised was that he'd never leave us and he'd never forsake us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. Now, maybe your dad used to use this on you when he told you to take out the trash and you didn't want to, and he said it builds character. Go on, it builds character. Go out there and cut the grass, it builds character. What is it? You have to suffer a little bit to build character. Character is a victory, not a gift. Character isn't something that God can just hand down and say, Brother Layton, here you are. You were born, we won't go back to how far he was born, but you were born on such a certain date. Here's the character for your life. He had to live and go through some trials and face some things, maybe face some bullies at school, maybe face some people in Pentecost that was so off, far off in false doctrine, but something down on the inside of him, even before he came to the message, something just didn't sound right. And he would go through those things and he would climb up a little higher into the Word of God a little higher. And one day the message crossed his path And people no doubt made fun of him in some of the Pentecostal churches that he came out of and things. And I think you attended a woman preacher's church. I'm sure they just loved that, him coming to the message. I'm sure, you know, different family members and things. I'm sure there were some things that were hard for him. But what was it? God was building his character. Because character's a victory, not a gift. Brother Bram said God couldn't push us through one end of the pipe and pull us out the other end and say, oh, blessed is he that overcometh. That's a gift. Character is not a gift, it's a victory. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic, but power with character is fit to rule. I gave the little demonstration this morning talking about my daughter. You know, if I just tossed her the keys tonight and said, go have a good time, that wouldn't be very wise on my part, because she hasn't reached a place to where she's got character enough to be able to handle the power behind the vehicle. Right. Power apart from character is satanic. But when she gets about 40, I see those gray hairs Brother David Andes is getting with his daughter driving him around. I don't want nothing to do with that. When she gets about 16 and she goes and she takes some driver's education classes, she begins to learn why we have to yield and what the sign looks like and when we yield. And goodness gracious, she'll have to go to college to learn some of these roundabouts and things that we have here, I guess. But and she learns all the ins and outs and when the light changes, what to do, and you know, when to, where to stop at the line, and how to yield different places, and how to make lane changes, and how to parallel park. And she begins to read it in the book. That's wonderful, but I'm still not going to throw the keys to my wife's car and say, go have at it. Philip asked me the other day, he said, when I get my license, can I drive the Charger? I said, let's start you out in the Suburban and then we'll pray about it. Maybe we'll find him a 1977 Ford F-150 like my dad started me out in. He wasn't no dummy. He started me off with some big metal thing that had the shocks rusted off the back of it. When you'd hit a bump, you'd bounce for about 30 miles. But about anything else I came in contact with but a semi, I was going to win. So he had some common sense, you know, and wisdom about it. There's something about it. It's good to read it out of the book, but it takes an experience too. No matter how many books you could read, my 10-year-old can read pretty good. But if I gave him a driver's ed book, I'm still not just going to throw him behind the wheel and say, well, take care, son, have a good week. But I'll probably take him out in a field or a parking lot, let him learn how to accelerate and steer and brake a little bit, get the feel for the vehicle before I put him out here on the road somewhere. But yet we expect God many times. God, why can't you trust us with the things that you trusted Brother Branham with? Why can't you trust us with the type of things that we see some of the ministers around the message have? Why can't? Because the character hasn't grown to a spot many times to where he can just say, here's the keys, you go have at it. Power apart from character is satanic, but power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. Amen. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Amen. Oh, that what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trials that are to try you. That is what Peter said. Is it strange that God wants us to develop a Christ-like character that comes through suffering? No, sir. And we all have trials. Right. Many times you look at somebody else, you say, oh my, they don't have no trials. Oh yes, they do. Some people just don't wear theirs on their sleeve as much as you do. Some people don't put theirs on Facebook and on Twitter and call everybody up in the church and tell them about their trials. Maybe they're going through things that you have no idea about. Maybe they've got scars that are hidden back, emotional things and things that were way back when they was a child that you don't have any idea. You never know it to look at them, the things that they're going through and the things that Satan keeps them up and beats them over at night. Everybody has trials. We're all tried and chastened as sons. Not one but goes through that. The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Amen. Many times we get upset because we're going through a trial. Lord, why did you let this happen? Why did you let that happen? Lord, if you loved us, if you called us, if you chose us, if you placed us, why would you allow some of these things to go on? He said the church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. I remember, you know, different places when we were starting off, we ran out of space in the home and started going to Brother Layton calls it the Ladies Union Club, but I don't like to call it that. That's what they call it, but it's the old Prather Schoolhouse. And we was there and having to go in and set up at night after they'd get done with the baby shower or wedding shower or something. Me and my brother Anthony, Dad had bought us an old minivan and we was keeping the chairs and the PA equipment and that. We'd go in about 11 o'clock once all them got out, drive around, make sure everybody was gone and go in and set up till about 1 in the morning. And I was working a full-time job at the time. I'd go home and study till about 3 in the morning and come to church the next day. Might be 4, might be 8, might be 20. You never knew. And Satan would beat me up. I'd get home at night. And he'd say, what on earth are you doing? You're not helping anybody. You're crazy. And maybe somebody texted me or called me and said, Brother Nathan, what you said Sunday, you have no idea how much I needed that. And it'd give me a little bit of strength to go a little further and a little further. Then things didn't work out there. We moved over to the storefront. And then when the storefront didn't work out and we was getting kicked out of there, people began to say, see, it's not of God, or they wouldn't have lost their building. The church that's not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. Amen. And it looked like a trial, but what we didn't realize was God was just moving us to a nicer, bigger building. Amen. And we looked back and we thought, oh my, we would have never left. I would have probably never left that place. We just put $5,000 in remodeling a bathroom, and my, I'd walk in the back door there and look. Sometimes I think, God, I can't believe you brought us from a living room to this little place. I loved it. My little office there and things, and my, the presence of God would come there, and we loved it there. It was a nice little place. It wasn't a fancy cathedral, but it was nice. It was dry in the rain and cool in the summer and warm in the winter, and we just thought we was just having a glorious time. And but God looked down the road and saw that we needed more seats than we could pack in that little bitty storefront. And so he transitioned us over, and we was there for a while, and then things began to not work out, and you know, they bought that building out from under us. And then of course, you know, people started running around saying the same kind of things. The devil would get on your back and tell you all kinds of things and lie to you, but God had something better for us. Sometimes he has to stir the nest a little bit to keep our focus on him so that we don't get stagnant. That doesn't just go for a church building. That goes for our own personal lives, for maybe situations at your job or your school or whatever it be. Maybe you're suffering. Maybe you're going through things. Don't think that God doesn't love you because you're going through a trial. The church that's not being suffered and is not being tried, he said, hasn't got it. It isn't of God. But we get this mentality that, oh, if God loved me, he wouldn't let me go through this. If I was really a child of God, I must be doing something wrong. There must be some sin that he's holding against me or something. That's what Job's comforters tried to tell him. Job, if you wasn't some old secret sinner, you wouldn't be going through this trial. But God was up in heaven, and he was talking. And when the sons of God came together, he said, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's not a man like him on the earth. Right. That's what God saw. His friends saw his trials, they saw his sickness, they saw his family situation, they saw his financial situation. He went from the richest man in the East, the Bible taught him, to where he lost almost everything he had. And Satan sat back and laughed, and his comforters, same as all the advice and comfort they could give him was, Job, if you'd just stop being a secret sinner, maybe God would bless you a little more. He said, I'm not a secret sinner. I've done everything I'm known to do. I've sacrificed, I've prayed, I've sought God. They were saying that down here, but God was looking down and saying, there's not a man like him.
Amen.
The church that is not suffering and is not being tried hasn't got it. It isn't of God. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Brother Bram says, now this special condition in Smyrna must be applied to every age. There is no age free from it. There is no true believer free from it. Amen. You're not free from chastisement. You're not free from persecution. He said there's no true believer free from it. This is of God. This is the will of God. It is needful. We need the Lord to teach us the truth that we are to suffer and be Christ-like in doing it. Love suffereth long and is kind. Matthew 5:11-12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. Now, this is what the Pentecostals taught us. This is what a lot of message churches have taught us. Oh, my. Pentecost, the bigger the tent and the more Cadillacs or vehicles, Lincolns, Continentals, whatever you had, that you had. My uncle used to drive those big 98 Oldsmobiles. You could fit a whole about 18 people in the front and the back and about 20 more in the trunk. All those old big vehicles, those Pentecostal preachers would come down. The more of those you had and the bigger the square footage of your tent, the more that God had blessed you. They thought, and a lot of them demon-possessed, false prophets, false anointed ones, deceiving the people. That was no sign of God's blessing. Brother Ram got up at the Christian businessmen's meeting there, and all those men had said, oh my, God has blessed me. My company's got bigger. My bank account's got bigger. We know we have God's blessings. He said, hey, prostitution increased 40% last year. Have they got God's blessings? The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Neither are bright skies and still waters signs of his love and approval. I wonder what those Pentecostal people thought, preaching prosperity and a prophet of God get up and make a statement like that. Well, prosperity, you want to talk about prosperity, prostitution prospered last year. Oh, I'm sure they didn't like that very much. But he didn't come to mince words or compromise. He came to bring them the direct word of God. Cloudy skies and storms are no signs of God's disapproval. Many times, you know, I pray to God that my children turn out right. And I know, you know, I feel like I turned out okay, Brother Hoover, but I went through some rough spots as a teenager. My mom didn't have any gray hair until she had me. Neither did my daddy. They didn't have any gray hair until they had me. My teenage years, I really put them through it. No doubt they thought, goodness gracious, what have we done? Where have we failed? No doubt God put them through a lot of things. That wasn't a sign of God's disapproval of the things I put them through. It wasn't any mistake they had made. It was that they had a high-tempered boy that was running from a gift on their hands. And I was running and trying to do everything I could to keep that gift quiet and hushed, and because I knew it wasn't popular, especially in this area. That was no sign of God's disapproval to them. Maybe they could lay there sometimes and think, oh, dear Lord, what did we do wrong? Where did we go wrong? Well, what did we do? We tried our best. We took him to church. We took him to meetings. We read the scriptures to him. We had devotions at night. We did all these things. We played tapes in the home. We did all these things. We went around most of our vacations as a young boy. I only remember one vacation, Brother Weber, in all my life that we took to actually go somewhere that it didn't involve church services. One vacation all my life. I don't begrudge him of that. I thank God for that. Every vacation we took, it was either to go to church or to go visit family. And when we went visited family, we went to church. They had me in camp meetings and they had me in revivals. They had me under all kinds of different ministries and ministers. And I sat and saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I learned things to do and things not to do. When I got to be old enough to travel with my brother, we was gone about more weekends than we was home, traveling, going to services and things. I thank God for that. I thank God for that. I believe it was God using those things. And they could sit and think, look at all the services he's been in. That's wonderful. But until I had an experience on my own, it didn't matter how many services I was dragged to. Didn't matter how good a home I was dragged to. But that shouldn't have reflected on them as God's disapproval. It wasn't God's disapproval. It was just God getting me in a position to where he could get me right where he wanted me. The cloudy skies and storms of life are no signs of God's disapproval. Maybe you're going through financial troubles tonight. That's not a sign that God doesn't love you or that he's disapproving of you. Maybe you're going through family troubles. Maybe you're going through mental battles and Satan's trying to lie to you. Maybe you're going through nervousness. Maybe you're going through persecution. Maybe some of your friends walking off and leaving you, whether they be out of the message or in the message or around the message or whatever they are, walking off and leaving you because of your stand for the word. Maybe they've walked off and left you because of the church you attend. Maybe they've walked off and left you because you still profess the message and they're out there making fun of it. That's no sign of God's disapproval. If I lose every friend I've got, that doesn't change the way God feels about me.
Amen.
Neither are the bright skies and still waters signs of his love or approval. My, if it was, then Bill Gates is a lot better Christian than I am. Then Donald Trump is a lot closer to the Lord than I am. If bright skies and still waters are signs of his love and approval, financially, maybe physically, different things, there's a lot of people a lot better off than I am. But I'd rather be right where I am. I'd rather be right where I am and know that I'm in his will than to trade places with anybody. His appeal of any of us is only in the beloved. Approval, rather, sorry. His approval of any of us is only in the beloved. His love is elective, which he had for us before the foundation of the world. Does he love us? Ah, yes. But how shall we know? We shall know because he said so.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's good enough for me.
Amen.
Brother Hoover sang that song a while back. You know, if he never did another thing, never did another miracle. He doesn't have to come down and vindicate this message again for me.
No.
I don't need them to find another picture with a pillar of fire. I don't need them to find another death certificate for more men on the bridge. I don't need it to be any more vindicated than it already is. I've seen what it produces. If I never see another miracle, if I never see another healing, I believe we will. I believe they're going on all the time, sometimes even before. Many times the people recognize it, sit in a service, and then testimonies come back weeks later. You know what? That left me. I believe we'll still see him. But even if he never heals another person, if I never see anything else, if I have to struggle financially for the rest of my life and never have another big financial blessing or anything, that won't change the fact that he loves me.
Amen.
He doesn't love me because of the size of my checking account or the smallness of it. Doesn't change it. He doesn't love me. His love isn't compared on a meter of how good my health is or how poor my health is. His love isn't judged by a meter of how happy I feel or how down in the dumps I am on whether I'm on the mountain or down in the valley. His love for me is proved because he said he loved me.
Amen.
And his word is good enough for me. Regardless of what I go through, regardless of what I face, no matter how good the trials or no matter how bad the trials or how good the victories, he loves me because he said he loves me. And manifested that he did love us, for he brought us to himself and gave us of his Holy Spirit, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. Amen. If the musicians would come this evening. How shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said. Give me just a moment, Brother Anthony, before you switch that. By believing what he said and by conducting myself with joy amidst the trials that he in his wisdom allows to come to pass. He in his wisdom won't allow you to go through any more than you can take. He in his wisdom will only place on you enough. You might seem like you're right to the breaking point sometimes. You might seem like you're right to the giving up sometimes. But he in his wisdom will allow just enough to mold you and make you into what he wants you to be. Without it being enough to just completely drive you to suicide or whatever it would be. He knows just in his wisdom, just enough to give you that, to mold you into what he's trying to make you to be. He in his wisdom allows it. Whatever you're facing tonight, he in his wisdom has allowed it. Whatever family situation you're in tonight, he in his wisdom has allowed it. Whatever financial situation you're in tonight, he in his wisdom has allowed it. Whatever your physical condition tonight, he in his wisdom has allowed it. He has a reason for it. He has a purpose for it. Not because he's mad at you, not because he's trying to get even with you, because he loves you and he knows what it takes to perfect you. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. This word reign is a Greek word. It means to reign together, to possess supreme honor, liberty, blessedness with one in the kingdom of God. We're blessed tonight. Amen. Supremely blessed. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Thank you, brother. Whatever you're suffering tonight, it's not even, can't even be compared with what it'll be like to reign with him. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I just came into a valley, one like I've never been before. I keep searching for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the door. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love he has for me. God will make this trial a blessing. Though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Oh, I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these tests we must face. But it is here that God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Oh, now I'm standing on the mountain. Looking back, I can see. It was in my lowest valley. His strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and to taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace he gives to me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole world. Oh, let's sing it to him again. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, in him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. Let's just bow our heads tonight as they play that softly. Amen. No doubt many of you have been going through trials, maybe different ways, maybe coming from different avenues. Maybe some of you have trials at your school, some of the young people. Maybe you've got trials on your job, trials in your family, trials in your finances, physical trials in your body, emotional trials, mental trials, spiritual trials, whatever it would be. Maybe it's something, a temptation or something that's been placed in your way. I want to remind you tonight that he loves you. He loves you not because of however much he's blessed you or however little he's blessed you. He loves you tonight because he said he loves you. He doesn't love you on the merits of a scale of how much good you've done with compared to how much bad you've done, or how good you live on one week compared to how bad you live on another week. It doesn't change His love for you. It may bring correction. It may bring chastisement because of things that you've done, mistakes and things in your life. But just because a trial comes or a test comes, that doesn't always mean that God's just trying to chastise us. Many times it's just His way of molding us and making us into what He wants us to be, into molding our character into a place to where He can use us, to where He can have confidence in us. Maybe you've been going through a trial in your life. Maybe Satan's tried to rob you, tried to lie to you, tried to tell you you're not blessed. I want to remind you tonight, you're blessed. You're not blessed because of the size of your bank account or because of the good report that you got on your annual checkup from the doctor. You're blessed because He said you're blessed. You're loved because He said you were loved. Amen. His word is good enough for me. Regardless of what the monetary value may rise or fall, your health may rise and fall, whatever it would be, I don't judge His love to me by that. I don't judge my blessings by that. I'm blessed because He said I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I love Him, because He first loved me. I'm blessed because I'm walking in His word, because I've seen the light in this age. I'm blessed tonight. I'm blessed because it wasn't my good or my merit that earned it for me. I'm blessed because His grace shone on my path. He's told me, I said, I love you. I called you. I chose you. I predestinated you. I elect you. That's my love for you. Not whether you're in a valley or whether you're in a mountain. That doesn't affect the value or the amount of my love. My love to you is because I chose you. I loved you. I looked down through eternity and I chose you. I predestinated you before the foundation of the world. That's my love to you. Oh, my, I believe He's speaking to hearts tonight, trying to encourage you, trying to strengthen you. Whatever you face, whatever you go through, He loves you. Whatever anybody says about you, whatever they might try to run you down. They might try to run your family down. They might try to run this church down or your pastor or the deacons down. That doesn't matter. We're blessed. You might go through persecution at your work because you're a Christian. You might go through persecution from your family or your friends, so-called, because you believe this message. You're blessed. Don't look at what they're saying. Don't look at the negative. You're blessed tonight. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we sit in Your presence tonight, Father, and Lord, as Your word has gone forth, not because I was speaking, Lord, but because Your presence was here, because the quotes and the scriptures were read. We've heard from Your word tonight, Father. Lord, may it just encourage hearts. May it strengthen us to recognize other people's opinions don't amount to much. Our circumstances don't amount to much. But Your love for us that made all the difference in the world. Regardless of what comes or what goes, regardless of which way the wind blows or what's popular at a certain time or whatever it would be, Father, Lord, we're not depending on that. We're not looking in that. Our hopes, our faith aren't built on the shifting sands of man's ideas or doctrines and traditions of man. They're not built on people's opinions or popularity. But Lord, they're built on Your word. What You told us in Your word, that's our foundation. That's where our hopes, that's where our faith rests tonight, that You said that You loved us. You loved us so much that You came and gave Your life for us. You loved us so much that You called us out of Laodicea, that You placed us here when we didn't even have any choosing in us. You called us and placed us in this time and this age, and then You shone the light across our path and gave us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, regardless of what comes and goes, regardless of what's said or done, Lord, we love You tonight, and we're blessed because You first loved us. We're blessed tonight. Even if people are saying evil against us, we're blessed. Even if they revile, even if they persecute, even if they make fun of us in the stores and on the job and in the schools, we're blessed because we have that blessed assurance that You love us, Father. Oh, Lord, help us to cling to You. Help us to cling to Your word. Help us to cling to the cross. Lord, regardless of what else goes on about us, regardless of politics or economy, regardless of statements being made, regardless of whatever comes against us, Father, if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, may we not try to find our peace in the entertainment of the world. May we not try to find our peace in the friendship of humanity, but Lord, may we find our peace in you. Circumstances will change. Prosperity will change. Health situations will change, Lord. But you'll never change. Your love for us will never change. May we find our peace in the only one that can truly give us the peace that passes understanding. When family members have let us down, when friends have let us down, when our co-workers, when our schoolmates, whoever it is, when they've disappointed us, when they've hurt us with words, or when things have taken place, help us to find that peace that's only in you, Father. Give us a peace in the time of storm. Give us a shelter in the cleft of the rock, Father, till the storm passes by. Help us to be able to even praise you, Lord, in the midst of the trial. Help us to praise you in the midst of the storm. Give us the strength that we need for the journey. Father, there's no way we can make it without you. But I'm so thankful tonight that I'm not depending on my own ability or my own intellects, but I'm depending on you, Father. I'm dependent on your grace. Your grace has brought me thus far. Your grace will take me home, Father. Oh, we thank you tonight for your presence. May you just encourage hearts tonight, I pray. Give us the strength we need for the journey. Jesus Christ's name we pray. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. Oh, there's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. No, I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, these kind of tests we must face. But it is here that God will mold you. He'll make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient, you will see. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees, though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. Amen. Let's stand together this evening. Amen. I feel this way. Amen. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be in his presence. All the money they could give me, all the popularity, all the fame that the world could give, I wouldn't trade any of it for just a moment in his presence. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. There's nothing like an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. I'm walking in the grand old highway and telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, yes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. Oh, I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian. In this world, I've tried most everything, and I'm happy now to say there's nothing like religion in the good old-fashioned way. I am walking in the old-time way, and I want the world to know that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'd rather be an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. Oh, I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go, Lord, I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Oh, yes, I'd rather be an old-time Christian.
Christian than anything I know. Oh, I'd rather be an old-time Christian with the Christian love to show. Oh, I'm walking in the grand old highway, and I'm telling everywhere I go that I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. Well, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, I've been shouting, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, I've been singing, church, I've been shouting, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, oh, since I laid my burdens down. Oh, glory, glory, hallelujah, oh, stimulation of revelation, laid my burdens down. Riverside, gonna lay down my burdens. Down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. No, I ain't gonna study war no more. 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 Well, I'm gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna try on my long white robe down by the riverside. Gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. 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 Oh, I'm gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my burdens down by the riverside, gonna study war. Let's try it this way tonight. Oh, I'm gonna lay down my sickness down by the riverside, down by the riverside, down by the riverside. Gonna lay down my sickness down by the riverside, gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Oh, ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Ain't gonna study war no more. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive.
all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. It's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Church, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Well, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, it's right here tonight, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's keeping me alive. Church, it's keeping me alive. Oh, it's right here tonight, and it's keeping me alive. His Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, I feel it in my soul, and it's keeping me alive. Oh, yes, it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. Oh, I feel it in my soul, and it's keeping me alive. His Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Oh, it's all that Holy Ghost in fire, and it's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's keeping me alive. It's His Holy Ghost in fire, and it's keeping me alive. The Holy Ghost is keeping me alive. Praise the Lord. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. I feel Him in my heart. Oh, I feel Him all over me. 270 if you don't know it. Oh, God's not dead. Oh, He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, God's not dead. He is alive. Oh, I feel Him in my hands. I feel Him in my feet. Oh, I feel Him in my heart. I feel Him all over me. Oh, church, my God's not dead. You say, oh, I don't have to feel him, Brother Nathan. Well, I'm glad I do. Amen. We don't just go off of feelings, but sometimes I like to feel him. Amen. Sometimes I like to feel that he's there. Amen. You say, oh, I don't. Well, go back and read what the prophet said about it. How many times was he there in the platform, in the prayer line? He said, I feel him right now. He just came into the building. He'd stand there and say, I'm perfectly helpless. And he'd say, no, I feel that he's here. I take every spirit under control. Amen. What was it? It's good to feel him sometimes. Amen. Oh, they might call us Pentecostal. I'm Pentecostal, not denomination, but by experience. I'm Pentecostal by experience. Amen. I thank God that I can feel him in my heart, feel him in my hands, feel him in my feet. Oh, my. You feel him tonight? Amen. He's good, isn't he? God bless you. You can be dismissed tonight. Let's sing it again as we go.
Oh, God's not dead.